Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Astatarasata Sri Srimai Abhaya Charandara Vindam Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shira Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Iskanda Kanda Acharya Shira Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Ananta Kati Vaishnava Vrinda Ki
Jai.
Namaskara Shira Haridas Thakur Ki
Jai.
Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki
Jai.
Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki
Jai.
Tagore Kumananda Glorious to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Shiva Deva Kudirata Shamanu Kima Stay Sarsha 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 Kudirata Shamanu Kima
Rio
Rio, you're new.
Yeah.
Where are you from there?
Yeah.
Israel. Staying for the whole rest of the course, or you're just coming for a few days? Not fixed up yet. Okay. Where are you from in Israel?
Next to Netanya.
No? Been there a few times, but it doesn't mean I'm familiar. Netanya, I haven't been to. Where is it near?
Like half an hour north.
North of where?
Netanya.
No, where's Netanya?
Oh, Netanya is like, it's half an hour north from Tel Aviv.
Okay. So you're an hour north of Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
I got you.
I'm sure.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. So we're in the seventh chapter. We got some hint about how, about Krishna's personal presence everywhere. We found out that everything is within Krishna's energy. And now we're finding out a little more about Krishna's energy. Everything that exists is either within Krishna's, whether it's within goodness or passion or ignorance, it all comes from Krishna. But Krishna is not within those modes of nature. Now, Tribhir Gunamayar Bhavayar, this is 13, Ebi Sarvamidam Jagat, Mohitam Nabijanati Mamebhya Paramabhya. So the whole world is Mohitam, bewildered. Bewildered by the three modes of nature. And therefore, na abhijanati mam, they can't understand Krishna. Because abhya paramabhyayam, Krishna is above the modes of nature. He's inexhaustible. And from within the modes of nature, those who are deluded, mohita, they can't understand Krishna. They can't understand Krishna. Muyanti yatsuraya, even the demigods are still bewildered by the modes of nature, and they can't understand Krishna. Any questions about that? Daivihesha, very important verse. Daivihesha gunamayi mamamaya duratya mam eviye prapajyante maya metam turantita. So, this you all know. Who wants to explain it briefly? Okay, you're elected.
Yeah.
Jason. Can
overcome or overcome the material energy by certainly not by say using material solutions.
Yeah. Your material solutions for overcoming, for getting out of the material nature and its perplexities aren't gonna work. Daivyesha gunamami mai mama maya duratya. Duratya means very difficult to get free from.
Can we say that the material world is like an ocean and we can't swim over it, but if we surrender to Krishna it becomes like the water in contagion.
Hoofprint of a calf?
Yeah.
Hmm. You could say that. Sorry, Prabhu. Then it's easy. Government lets you out, it's easy. Otherwise, you know, hacksaws and, you know, this and that.
Get caught.
Yeah, get caught, and what happens? You get through, you try and get out somewhere.
And it's a longer process.
Yeah, they hit you again.
Even if you manage to get out, it's a more longer process.
Yeah. Well, even if you manage to get out, then they throw you back in again.
What I understand from the verse is that the material nature is so difficult to overcome that even aside from material solutions, even spiritual solutions won't be enough unless one has the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna.
Yeah. Ma may be a prapajanta. Even the Maya bodies don't surrender to Krishna. They have a hard time. Why is material nature so hard to get past?
Because it's daivi.
Daivi means?
Yes,
Krishna's energy. It's divine energy. Divine means powerful. It has Krishna's divine power behind it. And it's gunamayi. We talked about gunamayi. Gunamayi means?
Three modes of material nature.
Yeah.
Consists of.
Yeah. And what's guna mean?
Qualities.
And? Another meaning is rope. When you see those ropes on ships where three ropes are entwined together, those are the ropes you don't break very easily. So, gunamayi, the material nature, you know, if she doesn't get you with passion, she gets you with ignorance. If she doesn't get you with ignorance, she'll get you with goodness. If she doesn't get you with goodness, she'll get you, you know, with that nice combination of goodness and passion. You know, there's always something very difficult to get free from. But mayam etam pranantite, if one surrenders to Krishna, done deal. One gets free. Any other point here? Very important verse. This is the key to the whole thing. You surrender to Krishna, you're set. You don't surrender to Krishna, you're stuck. Pretty, yeah, straightforward. That also. Krishna and Krishna's only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Then we come to one of Srila Prabhupada's absolutely most favorite verses. Namam duskritano mudha prapadyante naradhama maya pratagyana asura bhavamashrita. Now, if we were in Atul Krishna's Prabhu's class, maybe we could have some role play. Someone can be the mudha. Someone can be the naradhama. Someone can be maya pratagyana. And someone can be the out and out asura bhava. Want to get into some role playing?
Yeah.
Right. Yes, you do? What would you like to star as?
Me?
Yeah.
I want Butch.
I have to watch.
Oh, he wants to watch. I see. How many others would like to watch?
We'll have to watch him.
Okay, go play.
Rather go.
How many would like to watch him?
Okay, I go play.
You play. I wasn't really thinking of doing it, but we could.
Something back to play.
Narajama, Ruta, Maya Pritagana.
You know, just sit in the side with a couple of people, they'll do a whole skit.
Yeah? Okay.
Constitutional position.
Of course, it's. Holding on here a second. It's fun, but do we need to do it? I think we all know this verse pretty well. Prabhupada's really let us have it, who these people are. The duskritina, kriti means they do something, but they do some duskriti, means doing something bad. Duskritina, those who are misusing their capabilities. Mudha, you know, means an ass. Naradhama, the lowest among human beings. Maya Pritagana, those whose knowledge has been stolen by illusion, you know, so-called erudite men, but they're fools. And Maya Pritagana and Asura Bhavamashrita, just demonic. They've taken shelter of the nature of demons. This purport originally appeared as an article in Back to Godhead magazine, in Prabhupada's original Indian edition that he published before coming to America. Sometimes Prabhupada would do that. He'd just include, you know, some previous writing in a later writing. So this was originally an article in DPG, and then Prabhupada used it as the purport for this verse. Yeah. You can go back and find it in the old DPGs. It's in the database. Prabhupada one time, I've told this story, but maybe I'll tell it again. One elderly gentleman came to see Prabhupada in New York. And I brought him over to Prabhupada's apartment, because Prabhupada had written him that when I come to New York, we can meet. He was like belonged to some yoga society, or Vedanta society. And he met with Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, he said, I like your movement very much. But one thing is that one of your disciples said that such and such saintly person from Bengal was a rascal. And it seemed to me that he's a very saintly person. And I don't know why you would say that he's a rascal. And Prabhupada said, who has said that I have said this? The man said, you didn't say? And Prabhupada said, if they have said I have said, and I have not said, then they are rascals. Then the man was very happy, you know, he's like eased off. Then Prabhupada took a book off his shelf, blue hardbound book, Bhagavad Gita. He showed it to the man and said, you know this book? The man looked at it, oh, Dr. Such and Such, Vedanta Society. Oh, he was very, yes, he was right. So then Prabhupada had him open the book. He said, what is the translation? So the man read that always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage to me. Prabhupada said yes. He is a very good scholar. Now the commentary, what does he say? The man began reading. It is not unto Krishna that we have to surrender, but to the unborn beginningless within Krishna. Prabhupada said, therefore, he said, just see. Therefore I say they are all rascals.
Do we know what the man's reaction was?
Prabhupada proved it to him. He quoted this verse that Krishna says that if you don't surrender to me, then you must be this or this or this or this. Mudha, Naradama, Maya, Pritagana, Asura, Bhavamashrita. Prabhupada said, it is not my saying, it is Krishna's saying. What can I do?
It's epic.
So then Prabhupada said that sometimes strong words are needed to awaken a sleeping man. So here Krishna is using strong words. You rascal, you fool, you lowest among men, you demon, you so-called scholar, your knowledge stolen away by illusion. Just surrender, you nonsense. Well, Prabhupada appreciated this verse very much, found it very useful in his preaching. He said, we can understand things very simply. If you don't surrender to Krishna, you must be one of these four classes of men. We can at once understand. So these things Prabhupada has said. Very relishable purport. Any questions? Okay. Now we come to just the opposite. Sukritan, those who have performed very good activities. Chatur vidha bhajante imam jana sukritin arjana arto jigyasur artarti gyanicha vartarsha. Four kinds of men who can begin devotional service to Krishna. Arta, those who are in distress. Artarti, those who are after material gain. Jigyasu, the inquisitive. And Gyani, those who are searching after knowledge. Who are the examples of these four? The Arta, distressed, who is that?
Gajendra.
He was being pulled by a crocodile, so he surrendered. Then?
Artarti, Dhruva.
Dhruva Maharaj. And Jigyasu, inquisitive? No?
Parikshit?
Sages of Naimisharanya. They would say, our faces are just getting black from this all sacrifice, but we're trying to understand something. We're inquisitive to know. Then, Gyani. Kumaras of the Gyanis. They were already situated in knowledge of the absolute truth, but by bowing down and smelling the tulsi from the Lord's lotus feet, they became attracted. So Krishna can attract even the liberated souls. How can a person who's after money know Krishna? Yes, somehow if he approaches Krishna for wealth, then he'll become a devotee. The example is Dhruva Maharaj. You've all been studying Dhruva Maharaj, yeah? No, that's the Vaibhav class. They've been studying fourth canto. The Dhruva Maharaj was a little boy, and he was insulted by his stepmother. His brother was getting on the king's lap, and he wanted to get on the king's lap. And his stepmother said, no, you're not my son, so you can't sit there. Means the implication is you can't inherit the kingdom because you're the son of, you know, the less favored wife. So the boy became, he was 5 years old, became upset, went home to his mother. Mother said, well, what can I do? She's right, actually, that, you know, I'm less favored, and what can we do? So I can't help you, but God could help you. All right, where do I find God? Well, some sages go out to the forest. All right, I'm going. So he went out looking for God. He was asking all the animals, have you seen God? Have you seen God? He's searching, searching, searching. And Krishna saw this boy is very serious. He sent Narad Muni. Narad Muni met the boy, said, you know, you're just a little boy, and the forest is really tough, and you're a king's son, better that you go home, and in the future sometime, if you like, you can come out to the forest. And the boy said, thank you very much, but if you can, I'm looking for God so that I can get a kingdom, and if you can help me, then please tell me what to do, otherwise better that you go home. So Narada Muni gave him instructions to follow, what to do, what mantras to chant, what austerities to perform. So Dhruva did it very seriously, because his goal was that not only to get his father's kingdom, but to get a kingdom better than his father's, better than his grandfather's. So the boy was so serious that finally Krishna appeared to him. Then Krishna said, so what do you want? And Dhruva said, now that I've seen you, I don't want anything. So he started out looking for wealth, but at the end, no, I'm completely satisfied. I just want to serve. Okay. So these are all neophyte devotees, actually. Someone's looking for just, you know, get me out of distress. Just solve my economic problem. Just satisfy my curiosity. Just give me some knowledge. But as they mature in the advanced stage, no, I don't care about my distress. That's not the thing. My wealth, that's not the thing. I just want to serve. And they later become pure devotees.
Why are distressed people and desire for poor people, why are they pious?
They're not necessarily pious.
Impiety usually doesn't mean.
Poor doesn't mean that you're pious. You can be poor and impious. What's the response of the poor person who's impious? You say that there's a God. If there's a God, then why are people poor like me? Why is there no justice in the world if there's a God? It's all rubbish. It's all just the imperialists and capitalists have, you know, pushing this idea of God to justify their lording it over the people of the world. There's no God.
Poor person.
Or else just
God is money. God is my next meal. God is, you know, something transcendent. There's nothing transcendent.
Yeah. Become demonic. Become demonic. Why? Impious. Duskritsana. Their background is impious activities. So as soon as they're in trouble, I'm in distress. Oh man, I'm in distress. If there were God, I wouldn't be in distress. I'd be happy all the time. You know, why is, you know, I'm supposed to think God's the one who's supposed to be happy, and I'm the one who's supposed to suffer, right? Well, I've got news for you. Forget it. I'm not into it, all right? You know, he's impious. So as soon as there's distress, that's a sign there's no God. As soon as he's in need of money, that's a sign that God is, you know, no good, otherwise God would have provided. He's looking for knowledge. Where does he look? He looks, you know, what he can see with his senses, what he can figure out with his mind, because there's nothing more beyond that. We understand everything scientifically, and we know there's no God. There's no, what is that? God of the gaps. It's just an explanation provided by people to, as an ad hoc explanation for what they can't explain. But science can explain everything. It's only a question of time. You know, they're looking for knowledge, but they're demonic. So their knowledge is that there couldn't be any God, everything's happening by the arrangements of material nature, and material nature is everything there is. Material nature itself is wise, intelligent, adaptive, wonderful, beautiful, you know, whatever is beautiful, wonderful, excellent in this world is a product of the ultimate wisdom of nature. And nature is everything. So they become demonic. But a person who's pious, when he's in distress, he thinks, all right, because of my past impious activities, I have to suffer distress. So it may be the will of God, but it's all for my betterment. When he's in need of money, he thinks, oh God, please help me. Gajendra, he's in distress. He prays, oh Krishna, please help me. When he wasn't in distress, there was no need. He was enjoying. But when distress came, as they say, when push came to shove, then, oh Krishna, please help me. When Dhruva Maharaj was insulted and wanted a kingdom, then instead of thinking that, you know, I'll shoot my father or something, he went looking for God. The sages went to hear about God. The Kumaras became attracted to God. So a person who has a background of pious activity, Sufi, even if he may be poor or in distress, because anyone, even, you know, pious or impious, it's not like all in one place. But there are people who may be poor due to some impious activity or by nature's arrangement. But generally they're pious. They have a background of pious activities. Then, yes, when they're stuck, they go looking for God. The problem, of course, is when they're unstuck, then they say thank you very much, and they go back to their material interests. Yes?
Sometimes, like, you know, I do door-to-door sankirtan.
Loud, door-to-door sankirtan, yeah?
And sometimes, you know, people that are not really wealthy, but, you know, whatever little they have, they'll give you, but a rich man, they say, beware of the dog, no entry.
Yeah, that's also there. The person becomes wealthy and impious. He becomes... Maybe he, by his pious activities, he got wealth, and now that he's got wealth, he's going to be impious. You know, he becomes intoxicated. Now I'm the greatest. You know, so he, forget anything pious, you know, God. You know, why should people go to church for money? Why don't they come to me? You know, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, I'm the best friend of everyone. So yeah, the even, what is that in the Bible? It said, blessed are the poor, or something or other. Anyway, they'll be meek and humble. When a person's poor, then it's, you know, you kind of by force, you have to be humble. Yeah.
The blessed are the dispossessed, they will inherit the earth.
They'll inherit the earth. So that idea is there. The rich man becomes puffed up by his wealth. So poverty is an advantage. When a man becomes poor, he thinks, you know, he naturally becomes humble. Where was Prabhupada discussing that? It's in the Krishna book. Nalakubera and Manigriva, right? There's a whole discussion about that. How they became puffed up by being the sons of a rich demigod. And then Narad Muni favored them and took everything away. Yasyaham anugranami harishet taddanashi. It's Krishna's favor. If someone's poor, if someone's in distress, it's actually a favor from Krishna. When we're in distress, what happens? We have to depend more on Krishna. We have to depend more on Krishna. When we're down and out, no money, no friends, no this, no that, who's left? Krishna. So a person who's fortunate, who has a background of pious activities, when there's distress, when there's financial wipeout, when he's in need of knowledge, when he's curious, he turns towards Krishna. He turns towards Krishna. You'll find that people looking for knowledge, you'll find those who are like dead against anything to do with God, and those who are turning towards God. Two different backgrounds. Well, of course, how, it depends on the person. Somehow or other, we give him the transcendental sound. We give him this chanting. We may not give him philosophy. We may say, you know, just chant this, you'll feel better.
Right.
Depends on the person. If he's philosophical, let's look at it philosophically. If he's inclined to, you know, not philosophical, take this chanting, take this prasadam. If he's just, you know, one way or another, we give him the, even if he's impious, just take this book, read something.
Give him some service.
Give him some service. Yeah, we may say, you know, we know that you feel lousy. Here, why don't you absorb yourself in some, you need something to do. Do some service to Krishna, you'll feel better. It depends. Otherwise, if he's philosophically inclined, we have so many books, so many different ways to explain these things. By example also, well, I, you know, let me tell you a story about someone who was in distress not too different from yours. In fact, maybe even more distressed than you. And, you know, we have some history from the books. And then the person, you know, can think, well, yeah, you know, it's kind of something like me. How did he solve his problem? And without saying, this is the story and this is what you should do, so, well, I know someone not too different from you.
And that's what he did.
And this is what he did. But lots of times the scriptures teach that way. You know, by telling about somebody else, we're telling about, you know, talking about me, but by telling about the guy sitting next to me. Very good technique, because people have a hard time digesting straight instructions sometimes. It's a strategy also called instructing the daughter-in-law by instructing the daughter. Yeah, the daughter-in-law, because in Indian society, the son marries and the daughter will, his wife lives with the husband's family. So that means in the house, the son is there, his wife is there, his sister is there, so they're all living together, joint family system. So the new girl, the daughter-in-law, she doesn't know what she's doing, she's screwing up, she's, you know, she's got it all wrong. So, but the mother, the son's mother knows that if I tell her directly, she would take it, you know, she'll feel too pinched. So instead of saying to the daughter-in-law, don't you know how to make chapatis? They're not supposed to be like that. She'll give it to the daughter-in-law. Don't you know, what are you doing?
To her own daughter.
That, you know, what are you doing? That's, you know, that's not how you do it. You should do it like this. This and that. The daughter knows it perfectly well. But by instructing the daughter-in-law will think, yeah, actually, you know, I should be doing it. So it's more digestible. Instructing the daughter-in-law by instructing the daughter. Yeah. Okay, so we've looked at these four kinds of people on both sides. Sukriti and Duskriti. Yeah? Tesham gyani nitya yukta ekabhaktir vishishyate. Priyo hi gyani no tyartam. Aham sacha mama priyaha. Krishna says, of these four, the pious men, Sukriti, the jnani is special, vishishyate. Vishishyate means distinct, special. Why? Prabhupada explains, because he's more or less inclined toward devotional service. Let's see, but... He's the one who's, you know, everybody else has got some motive. He has a motive also, but really what his motive is that he's looking for Krishna. He's looking for the absolute truth. So he's, someplace says, yeah, the devotee in full knowledge is considered very dear to the Lord because his only purpose is to serve the Lord with love and devotion. That's the thing. He's, from the very beginning, his interest is to know God, to come in touch with God, to understand God. He's considered the best of these four. They're all good. Udara sarve vaite. That comes next. They're all great souls. They're all magnanimous. But the one who's looking for knowledge, Krishna says, I consider him to be just like my own self. Atmaiva me matam. It's as if he were my own self. astita sahi yuktat ma ma me vanutamam. He's engaged in devotional service, so he quickly comes to me. So there, otherwise we see that someone is looking, comes to God looking for wealth, he gets the wealth and he goes away. He got what he wanted, and now things are fine. He was in distress, the problem's solved. Thank you, God, thank you, you know. Now he can go off and have a good time. But the person, even the curious person, who satisfied his curiosity, you know, I just had one question, you know, why do you people shave your head? Well, you know, satisfies his curiosity enough and he's gone. But the person who's looking for knowledge, basically he's looking for Krishna. So he sticks. Of course, any of the other, they can also come forward and stick with it also. But that means they have to be promoted to a higher understanding. The Gyani is already there, practically speaking. Before he's considered this.
Maharaj, people that approach Krishna for wealth and to get relief of their distress, do they get immediate relief from this when they approach Krishna, or it could be coincidental when they approach Krishna that there is a karma to have these problems solved?
Does Krishna relieve their distress instantly? That's up to Krishna.
He can do that?
He can instantly relieve their distress. He cannot relieve it. There are people, you know, they pray for their economic problems to be solved, and Krishna makes them worse. You know, and then they say, well, there's no God. But Krishna is always acting for the benefit of everyone. If he takes my distress and makes it worse, the Pandavas, you know, they were in distress, they were put in worse distress. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Krishna is not our order supplier, that his business is, here's my laundry list, and I'll check back at 5 o'clock, please have everything ready. It's up to Krishna, he's Swaraj, independent. Sometimes even if you don't pray to him, he solves the problem. Sometimes you pray to him, he doesn't solve your problem.
That verse, Tati Nukam Pam. That verse, Tati Nukam Pam by Lord Brahma.
Yeah, yeah. The real thing is that the fortunate person, he becomes, he's adherent to Krishna, that solves his problem. The real solution to the problem is not that Krishna adjusts the circumstances. The real solution is he becomes attached to Krishna. We want a solution to our temporary problem. I have a financial shortage, please make up the difference. I have distress, please do something. Whatever I need, please supply it. And then we think, yeah, now my problem is solved. But actually, my problem is not solved, and in fact may be worse. Now I have money again, I can go off and, you know, forget all about who I am and what the purpose of life is. But if a person actually becomes Krishna conscious, then he really solves his problems. Then whether there's happiness or distress, whether he's rich or poor, whether any circumstances, he's steadily situated. What is that? Yasmin svatolna dukkena guruna pivichalyata. Even in the greatest misery, he's not disturbed because he's on the transcendental platform. Yeah. Well, so far I haven't come to the end of it. Somebody wants me to share it with them. Sorry. Yes.
There are these four kinds of neophyte devotees, and Prabhupada says that the problem with neophyte devotees is that after a while he will probably leave.
Yeah.
And therefore we have to come to second class devotee.
Yes.
So my question is the best of these four kind devotees, one who is looking for knowledge of God or sense of life? Yeah. He actually, he don't ask him anything material from God, but he's to know five. So what is his position of, you know, he will leave or is he?
They're all neophytes. Even the person who's looking for knowledge, he is a neophyte because he's not looking for devotional service. He's looking for knowledge. So he's still a neophyte as a transcendentalist now, or as a human being, he's advanced, but he's only a beginning devotee. He's looking for knowledge. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prabhajite. Now he's surrendering to Krishna. Now he's becoming a devotee. Just looking for knowledge is not the greatest thing. The next thing is, well, when I get knowledge, now I know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me serve him. So he graduates from being a jnani to being a bhakta. Is that okay? Looks like you're not very sure about it.
No, yeah. Like jnani is third class or fourth class?
On what measure?
Yeah, there is one who is in distress, one who looking for wealth, the one who looking for knowledge, and one who looking for supreme knowledge.
Yeah, Krishna says the person who's looking for knowledge is the best.
Yeah.
But he's the best of the neophyte of these neophyte pious people.
Mm.
He's only a neophyte devotee.
Yeah.
He's looking for knowledge. Then when he surrenders to Krishna, what is that? Churvida bhajante mam janasu kritanarjana artor tarti jagan. When he comes to Krishna, they're the best. They're all good. But the jnani, Krishna says, he's very dear to me.
Well, my point is that this first class, they're asking something material to Krishna. So when they get it, they will leave.
Yeah.
But
they may or may not leave.
They may or may not. You know, if they go to higher category.
Yeah, if he any of these people can become pure devotees.
Yeah. But in this category, when they are satisfied, they will leave.
No.
No.
Not any of them can
no,
leave, and any of them can, just like Dhruva Maharaj. He was looking for wealth. But he became a Mahajan.
Yeah, he became, but if he not became... No.
If he hadn't become a Mahajan, if he just said, okay, God granted my desire, now I have a big kingdom. And I don't need God anymore. But Krishna arranged it in such a way that he wouldn't think like that. But if someone approaches God for material profit, and then gets the profit and forgets about God, then he's, you know, where did he go? Therefore, Krishna is more considerate. Generally, when he's approached for material profit, he doesn't give material gain in such a way that the person will come back again asking for more, or the person will go away, now I have this. Instead, he tries to arrange things in such a way that the person will think, now I really have to surrender.
But what about this fourth class?
What is this first class, third class? What are these?
No.
1, 2, 3, 4. Do you see 1, 2, 3, 4?
They're all.
Yeah, but do you see first class, second class, third class, fourth class in this verse?
They're all the same.
Do you see first class, second class, third class, fourth class in this verse?
Yeah, this. One who comes for knowledge to Krishna is better than one who comes for money.
You see that? I don't see it in the verse.
I don't see that.
I don't see where Krishna says, first class is this person, second class is that person, third class is this, fourth class is that.
No, I see that this last one is distinct from this first three.
Yeah, that's all. There's three, and then there's one who's special.
Yeah. And this one who is distinct,
yeah.
What is, where is his danger to leave? To leave?
Everybody's in danger of leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Bharat Maharaj, from the stage of Pava, fell down. Not till you're out of the, you're not out of the woods till you're out of the woods. Anyone can fall down. But the jnani, when he's attracted to devotional service, now he's making progress. If he sticks to devotional service, he'll make more progress. If he perfects devotional service, goes back to Godhead. So you go back to Godhead, you're not out of the woods. Claro? What?
This first tree, there is, I can see clearly where is danger that they will eat Krishna. When they are satisfied, there is this danger that they will eat. But where is danger for this one who is this
can tree? Merge and think, now I got knowledge. There's God, there's Krishna. I'm also not different from him. Or now I've realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His highest pastimes are his pastimes with the gopis. I can also become a gopi, or I could also be like Krishna and have those pastimes. You know, there's so many ways that people can blow it. Mama Maya Dhrachya, Maya is very tricky. So, you know, even if you're a person of knowledge, what is that? Maya is so strong that she can carry away the senses even of a person who, intelligent person who's trying to control them. There's the usual fall down mechanism. You're a man of knowledge, but Maya's, you know, not short on knowledge either, and she knows how to get you. Hi, I'm Susie. What's your name? Excuse me?
Job offer with so much money. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am very poor. I have very bad clothes.
Maya likes you. Don't worry.
Everyone will pass. I have to pay alimony.
Okay. Yes.
I wanted to say something in response to how quickly Krishna may relieve one of distress, because it made me think. I was convinced when I just when I was about to join that my problems, my distress couldn't be resolved, or not for a long time. And I joined only thinking, well, anyway, I've got to do something. I'm in so much distress, so might as well do this.
Yeah.
And my great surprise was that 3 weeks to a month later, all my distress had vanished and I couldn't believe it. Never came back.
Wow. Yay!
Oh. 1 month isn't that bad.
Okay?
Is it proper to actually, when sometimes people approach us and being in distress, and they ask us questions, what should we do? And basically, and we tell them that, you know, maybe you should pray to God. You know? I mean, is it proper to actually ask them to pray to God to get relief from their distress? Or
yeah, but it's not just that we say, you know, okay, you lost your girl, but don't worry, pray to God, you'll get her back. But we give them the philosophy that you're in distress because you've forgotten Krishna. If you remember Krishna, he'll take care of your every problem, don't worry. You know, we're not just, you know, there are these preachers. Well, it's a very big thing now in Latin America, especially in Africa, this prosperity gospel. You know, the preacher comes and says, you know, God doesn't want you to be poor. You know, why should you be poor? It's only because you've forgotten God. If you remember God, you know, that Cadillac can be yours. That mansion can be yours. You know, that broadband connection and you know, 742 TV channels, they can all be yours. Why should you be poor? Jesus doesn't want you to be poor. You know, so it's like prosperity gospel. You just surrender to God. The TV will be yours, the mansion will be yours, the cars will be yours. And, okay, you know, they're getting people to God or to Jesus or whatever. But really, the people are, you know, now they're devoted, you know, really to the TV, to the car, to the mansion. So our process is different from that. Our process is to give them pure devotional service. And all right, you know, whatever problem you have, we know, you don't worry about it. You chant Hare Krishna, and you engage in the service of Krishna, don't worry, every problem will be solved. Your financial problem, your economic problem, your mental problem, your social problem, it's included. Why is it included? Because you come above the three modes of material nature, Krishna is the supreme. You know, everything is there in the philosophy. Not that we really cater to the, you know, yes, little boy, what's on your list? All right, I'll speak to God, and, you know, not like that. Or just pray to God, close your eyes and pray to God. When you open your eyes, you know, the fish will be there. It's not, you know, that's cheating. This is called Praitava Dharma. Dharmartha Kama Moksha. That, you know, you take up our process and you'll get wealth. You take up our process, you'll get sense gratification. You take up our process, you'll become one with God. I attended a seminar. At that seminar, someone from one yoga process spoke. And he gave a very learned lecture. He had a doctorate in something like it. But his theme was basically that if you take up this transcendental meditation process that we're offering, you'll get wealth, you'll get, you know, your whole material scene will be better. You'll do better in your job. You'll do better in your studies. You'll be, you know, your relationship with people, that is to say sex, will be better. You know? And ultimately you'll become one with the universal field of energy. You know, so you'll get material profit, sense gratification, and liberation. You know, you'll get the whole, anything in the shop, it's all yours, you know. So that's called Kaitava Dharma, cheating. Really. Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole different story. It's actually stated. Yeah, he missed it. So, our process is to give people the actual thing. Probably, you know, like selling diamonds, you may not have as many customers, but you'll give them diamonds. And there are a lot of people who are selling glass, you know, custom jewelry, they call it, you know, glass jewelry. Lots of customers, and it's cheap stuff. So we're not in the cheap stuff business, we're in the diamond business. You may not have as many customers, but, you know, Van Cleef & Arpels doesn't go into the costume jewelry business. Yeah, you can fill up a football stadium with people by offering them some cheap thing. Like football, for that
matter. Or rock bands.
Yeah, there are lots of ways to fill a stadium. We're not interested in just filling stadiums. We want to give the real thing. Our mission is somebody in this world has to give the thing as it is, has to give truth as it is, has to give pure devotional service without any motive, without any, you know, material purpose. That's our job. Good job, if you ask me. Okay. You've already blown our break. You might as well keep going, right? Okay. No one's asking for a break. If you don't ask for a break, you don't get it. You may or may not get what you ask for, but if you don't ask, you don't get it. Worth noting, in text 18, this is our comparative Bhagavad Gita study. You'll see that verse, Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyam. In the first edition of Bhagavad Gita, they had the wrong verse. They had the wrong verse, yeah. Right translation, but the wrong Sanskrit. And the wrong verse number. So if you looked up the verse and said, how does it go with this train? You would have been puzzled because it was the wrong one. Bahunam janmanamante genavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudhuri. So many are chanting it, you know this is a very important verse. It means? Means?
After many births and deaths, the one who is in actually knowledge surrenders and free, knowing me that to be the cause of all causes.
Bahunam Janman, very good. After so many births and deaths, Gyanavan, person who actually has knowledge. One may be a Gyani, so many lifetimes looking for knowledge. Gyanavan, when one, he actually has knowledge, Mam Prabhajita. What are you going to do with your knowledge? Knowledge, if you have knowledge, ultimately you got to do something with it. You know, same thing. I know this house is on fire. I can understand by the elevated temperature and the large quantities of smoke that's filling the room. And, you know, hey, what are you going to do, guys? Okay, you can understand he actually has knowledge when he runs for the door. So knowledge finally culminates in action. Or therefore Krishna said earlier that action and knowledge are not different. When you actually know, you got to do something. What is that surrender? Why? He's everything. Krishna means everything and includes everything. There's nothing outside of Krishna. Sa Mahatma Sudhir. He's called a Sudurlabha Mahatma. Very difficult to find someone like him. Why? Manusyanam Sahasreshu. That's the verse that you were thinking of. Out of so many thousands of men, one tries for perfection. Out of so many who attain perfection, hardly anyone knows me. Yes. Either way, take it how you like, but he surrenders. Yeah, it means he'll take up devotional service. Yeah, first you take it up, then you perfect it.
Because all the devotees, they surrender. Also, then it can be that you don't lead it this life or
He's not surrendering, he's cultivating knowledge, knowledge. Finally, when he gets knowledge, all right, I surrender. Now I surrender, we call it a surrendering process, right? It's not that, okay, now I've signed on paper, I'm surrendered. There's a surrendering process. You can say, any devotee can surrender. First surrender and then knowledge. Well, you know, I need a context. I'm not just where it is, I need to see what Prabhupada's saying in context. First surrender and then knowledge. Yeah, if you take up, even if you're not a person of knowledge, if you surrender and serve Krishna, knowledge will come. Otherwise, the people who are knowledge, if they finally reach knowledge, oh, Krishna is everything, let me surrender. Therefore, Prabhupada said, well, if after many, many births I'm going to surrender to Krishna when I finally get knowledge, might as well surrender to Krishna now. If after many, many lifetimes of cultivating knowledge, I'm going to surrender to Krishna, why not do it now? Save myself all those lifetimes.
Otherwise, it's after many more lifetimes.
Yeah, otherwise, suppose somebody says, you know, investigate all the stocks available, and when you've investigated them all, you'll conclude that you should invest in IBM. All right, well, save myself the trouble here. Let me invest in IBM now. Right? If after reaching perfection of knowledge, I'm going to surrender to Krishna. All right, wherever I am, let me surrender to Krishna now. That's intelligent. Save myself so much work. You know, they go through so many philosophical this. I can look at it this way, that those who have already reached the conclusion of knowledge, they've surrendered to Krishna. Well, what do I know? I might as well just follow them. Mahajanayena Gatasa Panta. They did all this work, you know, separating matter from spirit and analyzing all these categories and understanding, you know, this and this and this. At the end, they concluded that Krishna is everything, so I should surrender to Krishna. You know, how many lifetimes do I have for all that work? Let me just do it now. Save myself all that trouble. Surrender to Krishna.
When yesterday I wrote in the letter from Prabhupada, blind surrender will not do it. You have to know whom you surrender to.
And another time Prabhupada said, blind or knowing, just surrender, you get the result. You know, we like it if a person surrenders knowing everything, but even if you don't know, if you just surrender to Krishna, still you get. Because if he surrenders to Krishna, he gets knowledge. Either way, you surrender to Krishna because of knowledge, you become successful, or if you surrender to Krishna, you get the knowledge anyway. So, either way.
The problem with blind surrender is when you surrender to someone else, then.
Yeah, somehow or other, if you blindly, you know, if you blindly choose the right medicine, okay, you were blind, but you chose it. You know, now with knowledge, your chances are better, but even blindly, if you happen to choose the right one, great for you. There was a question. What's the cause of all causes? Well, in the material world, the rule is cause and effect. You know, like, maybe you asked your mother, you know, she told you, you said, why is something rather? She said, well, because of that. And you said, well, why that? And she said, well, because of this. You said, well, why that? You go on and on. There's always this chain.
Ask your father.
Yes, well, ask your father. Or there's because why is a crooked letter. But, you know, everything has a cause. You trace that back, it had a cause. You trace that back, that also had a cause. Trace that back, that also had a cause. You know, I punched him out. Why? Because he insulted my sister. Why did he insult my sister? Well, because she was nasty to him. Well, why was she nasty to him? Well, because she was having a bad day. Why was she having a bad day? Well, because the teacher had given her a bad grade on her such and such test. Well, why did he do that? Well, actually, because he just doesn't like her. Well, why doesn't he like her? Well, because she reminds her of, you know, the student he had in his previous class who was a real witch. And, you know, well, why did he remind you? Well, because, you know, everything has a cause. That has a cause. That has a cause. That has a cause. That has a cause. Where did this come from? Well, that came from, you know, the factory. Well, where did the factory came from? Well, it's an extension of the company in Atlanta. Well, where did that company in Atlanta? Well, it came from this, you know, started by this big conglomerate in Chicago. Well, where did that conglomerate came from? Well, actually, there's this rich guy out in Palm Beach. Well, how did he get so rich? Well, you know, his grandfather left, you know, trace. Or, you know, well, where did I come from? Well, from your father. Well, where did he come from? Well, from his father. Where did he come from? Father. You know, everything's cause. But when you get to Krishna, he's the cause of everything, but he doesn't have a cause. And somebody, well, how can he not have a cause? Because everything has a cause. No, that's the end. There's an original. That's Krishna. Sarvakarana Karana. Anything else? Okay. Cause of all causes. Yes. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. What is Vasudeva? Yeah, and what else? Yeah, son of Vasudeva is Vasudeva. Krishna can speak about himself in the third person also. It's like, you know, well, that's not such a good example. But Richard Nixon, when talking about himself, used to say, the president thinks. That's third person. Huh? But he's talking about himself. Instead of saying, I think, he says, the president thinks. Well, who's that? That's me. Or if the king says, whatever you have, you should give to the king. Now, what's that mean? So Krishna says, when he comes to knowledge, he surrenders to Vasudeva. By the way, that's me. Okay?
Prabhupada used to talk about surrendering to the spiritual master.
Yeah, Prabhupada used to say one has to surrender to the bona fide spiritual master. When he was present, who did that mean? Okay. Yes? He starts looking for knowledge and he gets engaged. Being engaged, he gets more engaged. Being more engaged, he gets still further engaged.
But the others, they all get engaged.
They also get engaged, but the person whose basic principle is knowledge, he's more focused. You know, the person who's looking for, who's in need of wealth, he's, you know, kind of got two things in mind. He's got Krishna in mind and the wealth in mind, and the two have a relationship. You know, so he's interested in Krishna because Krishna is the person who's going to solve his economic problem. The person who's looking for knowledge is interested in Krishna because Krishna is the object of his search. He's all knowledge absolute. The person in need of wealth has an aim which Krishna can help him out with. The person who's looking for knowledge, the aim itself is Krishna. So his nature is to be more focused. Krishna says he's special. All of them can be engaged in devotional service. And all of them can become pure devotees. When they become pure devotees, they're not interested in anything but Krishna. Swaman Katartosmi Banamayaju. I don't want anything. And now that I've seen you, I'm satisfied. You don't have to give me anything. Although we came looking for a kingdom. But at that stage, it doesn't matter whether they came looking for wealth, whether they came looking for knowledge, whether they came in distress, whether they came out of curiosity. When he becomes a pure devotee, it doesn't matter. Not that in the spiritual world they say, well, yeah, I know how you got here. You were one of the guys who was looking for knowledge. Well, we have that's over here. And people who came looking for wealth, well, we keep them over here. And, you know, it's not like that. There's no distinction. Somehow or other, you know, like we're all here in Mayapur, we don't make a distinction who got here by train, who got here by plane, who got here. There's someone who got here by plane, maybe from Bombay, he got here faster than the person who took the train from Bombay. But does it make a difference? Once you're here, it doesn't matter. You're here. Okay? Anything more here?
I really like that, like, because he considers a beginner more or less just like his own self.
Yeah. Even this person who's considered one of the neophytes, Krishna says, very dirty. And all of them, Krishna says, udara. They're all magnanimous souls. you know, after Krishna just blasted the Mudhas, the Naradamas, Asura Bhavamashita, you know, on the other side there are these, even neophyte person who's coming looking for the material motive, if he's approaching me, Krishna, oh, he's a great soul. Even though he came for a material motive, he came to me, he's a great soul. And the guy went elsewhere, he's a demon. He's a Buddha.
It's interesting that Krishna needs this so much that in Vaikuntha everybody looks like the Lord. He gives them same features.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Krishna's, I consider them like my own self.
Yeah, yeah. So he goes all the way, he really means what he says.
If they're so desiring, it's not like that's everything. But it doesn't mean, here it just means very dear to him. Okay. Now we're going to talk about some people who don't surrender to Krishna. These are significant verses, especially for those who are in the Hindu community and for whom Hinduism means many gods. All the gods. Because all of the gods, they're all good. Just you choose which god, I choose which god. So here's, at least as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, here's the position. Kamais taister hrita jnana papajyante anyadevata tam tam niyamamasthaya prakritya niyatasvaya. We're back to strong language. Kamais means because of desires. Kamais taister. Tai tai means different kinds of desires. So many desires. Kamais taister hrita jnana. Hrita jnana means their knowledge has been taken away. In the first edition it was distorted, but here it's just gone, which is what it means. Deprived of knowledge, hrita jnana. Prapadyante anyadevata. They're the ones who surrender to other deities, other gods. Tam tam niyamamasthaya. And they follow all the rules and regulations for worshipping Shiva, for worshipping Durga, for worshipping Ganesh, for worshipping whoever, whichever deity it is. Why prakritya niyatasvaya? They're controlled by their own nature. Passion, ignorance, goodness, whatever it is. They're under the modes of nature. Nature's saying, worship this one, worship that one, worship Kali, she's the one you offer the, you know, flesh to, whichever one. Whichever one. Prabhupada talked about there's one so-called incarnation of God here in West Bengal who's famous for being a great devotee of Kali.
Ramakrishna.
I didn't mention any names.
Okay.
He's famous for being a great devotee of Kali. And people are worshipping him as God. But according to Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said he's not even intelligent. Hrita jnana, his knowledge is stolen away by illusion, and he's God. He's worshipping this God, that God. Everything is one, finally. But Krishna doesn't say, we'll come to that later, that any god you worship, it's all one, you get to the same destination. What is that? You go to this god, you get there. You worship that god, you get there. You get on the Chicago plane, you go to Chicago. You get on the Singapore plane, you go to Singapore. Not that any plane you get on, you go to Singapore. But that's the philosophy. It's all one. You worship anybody, you get to the same place. If that's true, why does Krishna say that they're hrita jnana? You worship me, you're a great soul, you worship her or him or them, and you're hrita jnana. Doesn't sound the same to me. Krishna says Hritagyan. Because they have material desires, they've lost their intelligence. So they're surrendering to this or that demigod. Yes?
In the beginning of the first book, it says those who are free from all material contamination surrender to the Supreme Lord and engage in his devotional service. As long as the material contamination is not completely washed off, they are by nature non-devotees. I mean, we're practicing devotees, and there seems like there's some contamination. It's not totally washed off. I mean, does this apply to us, like being non-devotees also?
No, you're devotees. Still, we may be not 100%, but there are these other people. They're so full of desires that they're not, you know, they're just busy worshipping these different gods like in a business transaction. You know, we were in South India. There was this guy, he had a string of movie theaters, and he was worshipping this big silver Ganesh. And it was really clear what was going on, you know. I'll do something for you, you do something for me. Yeah, I'll give you 10 rupees, you give me 10 lakhs. You know, we got a good thing going here. You know, I'll keep worshiping you, you keep supplying me. Or there are people, you know, they're worshiping this one, you know, the sun, because they've got a disease problem. Arogyam paskaram ijyet, if you want freedom from disease, worship the sun. They've got, you know, they're looking for a woman, so they're worshiping Lord Shiva, please, you know, send me a girl. Or they're worshiping, you know, Uma, send me a husband. Or, you know, they're worshiping somebody for something. Or they're worshiping all of them, you know. I offer my obeisances to you for this, I worship you for that. You know, kind of like these people who are like big companies, they're giving money to all the different politicians so that whoever's in power, they, you know, they're okay. And every department, they've put their bribes there so that in any department they can get something done. So something like that.
Well, this Tara Prabhu, he called it shotgun worship. You know, like it goes everywhere, you know, just offer it. They have all these, you know, all on the altar and just fire on all of them.
Diversified portfolio. You know, they've got a little money invested everywhere so that they're not risking too much any place. And they can expect some return from, you know, most of their investments. So it's a diversified portfolio. But Krishna consciousness means take the plunge, that we invest everything in Krishna. But that requires samahatma sudurlabha. Yes.
If worshipping any god was the same, then there was no need for Krishna to speak the Bhagavad Gita, because you could do whatever you like and you go to the same goal.
Certainly no need for him to speak this verse. This is not an everything is one verse. This is not an all gods are one verse at all. So their philosophy is in deep trouble, at least as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned. And it's going to get in worse trouble in the next couple verses. Yo yam tanam bhakta shraddhayarchitam ichtati tasya chalam shraddham tam eva viridamiham. They're worshipping a particular deity, but I'm the one who makes his faith steady in that deity. I'm in his heart, I know he wants to worship this person, this deity, so I direct him from within. Okay, you want to do it? I'll help you out. The other deities can't do that. Durga doesn't give you the faith in her. It's Krishna that gives you the steadiness to worship Durga. It's Krishna who gives you the steadiness to worship Shiva. It's Krishna who gives you the steadiness to worship Ganesh. It's Krishna, whichever deity, it's Krishna, we learn here, that gives the faith to do it. The other gods on their own can't do that. It's Krishna from within the heart who sees, all right, you want to worship him? Go ahead, I'll help you out. Or you want to be an atheist? I'll help you out with that. You want to merge in the Brahmajyoti? Okay. Whatever it is, Krishna is there as overseer and permitter.
Like when you preach an atheist, Krishna gives him the good arguments.
Yeah, Krishna gives him the good arguments. You don't want to surrender to me. Let me tell you, that's the pits. throw this argument at him. Give him this excuse. Give him that excuse. Yeah, it's Krishna's giving him the intelligence. Matasmritir Gyanam Apohanam. Huh? Because if Krishna didn't do it, the person wouldn't have what he wants. He wants to forget Krishna. So Krishna is helping him. All right, I'll help you forget him. Because the person's insistent. It's not Krishna's desire. Krishna's desire is surrender. If we went by Krishna's desire, we wouldn't be in the material world. We'd be in the spiritual world. But someone's insistent. No, I want to be independent. I don't want to serve. Because we're insistent. So, just like a child. Child wants to put his hand in the fan. Father says, don't do that, you'll hurt yourself. No, I want to do it, I want to do it. No, you'll hurt yourself. No, I want to do it. Alright, go ahead. Because he's insistent. Not because the father thinks it's a wonderful thing for the child to get his hand hit. But because the child is insisting, alright, go ahead. Because that gives independence. If Krishna makes it so that you can't do anything else, then no choice. There's because we're part and parcel of Krishna, and he has complete independence, we have a little independence. We can use our little independence independently. We can turn toward Krishna or away from Krishna. But turning away from Krishna is practically impossible. So Krishna makes it possible. All right, you want to turn away from me? I'll help you do that if you want. You want to stay away? All right, I'll help you do that too. Is that okay? Yes.
I've heard the saying that if you're a true worshipper of a demigod, then eventually he will lead you to Krishna.
No, not really. You're a true worshipper of the demigod, you get what you wanted. Like there was this Vrikasura, he wanted, what did he want? He wanted anyone whose head I touch, his head will fall off. That's what he wanted. And he sincerely worshipped Lord Shiva, he was cutting off flesh from his own body and offering it in the fire. Finally Lord Shiva thought, this stupid demon, he's going to kill himself. I'd better just stop him. Alright, what do you want? This is what I want. Alright. Therefore he's called Ashutosh. Very easily he'll be satisfied, he'll give you. Therefore the worshippers, Shipramhi, Manushe Loke, sit here, Bhavati. Very quickly, they worship the demigods, they get the thing. Lord Shiva, this question was once put to Sukadeva Goswami by Parikshit Maharaj, that Lord Shiva is so poor that he's living under a tree and he can't even afford a house for his wife. And Lord Vishnu is the goddess, is all opulent, and his wife is the goddess of fortune. And his devotees are poor, and Lord Shiva's devotees are rich. What's going on? So Lord Shiva, Sukadeva Goswami said, this question was put by your grandfather to Krishna himself, Yudhisthira Maharaj, to Krishna himself. And the answer is that of course these things, you worship Lord Shiva and you get so many things. What are those things? They provide their manifestations of Maya. His wife is Maya personified. So you worship him, you get all sorts of stuff, whatever you want, but it's all Maya. You get the money, you get the mansion, you get the car, you get the girl, you get whatever it is that you asked for, but it's all Maya. But you wanted it, okay, you got it. But Krishna's more kind. Yasyaha manu granami harishe tatanam shai. He considers. Lord Shiva doesn't consider, is this going to be good for this person or not? Just gives. Very generous. But Lord Vishnu considers, is this going to be good for this devotee or not so good? So if it's not so good, then Krishna, instead of giving him something that's just going to cause him more trouble, Krishna takes away. Hari means one who takes away. He takes away instead.
Not by the help of Shiva.
Huh?
Not by the help of Lord Shiva.
No, himself, he doesn't need help. He does it himself. You surrender to me for this stupid thing, which is going to make you miserable, tell you what, you're not getting it. Instead, you know, I'm going to take away the other stuff you have that's making you miserable now. Tell you what, I'm going to take away some more. Till you've got nothing left, and then you have to surrender to me. And then you'll be completely happy. And you'll go back to Godhead. Or Lord Vishnu is more kind, but not so indiscriminate. So the people who want someone to give indiscriminate benefits may not be so attracted to Lord Vishnu. Yes?
So the last point you said, that Krishna is so kind that he arranges to purify us to root out that sinful desire that we have. So on one side, Krishna, he allows us to exercise our minute independence, but on this side, it almost seems like he's proceeding on minute independence.
Because you're approaching him. You use your independence to approach him, so, you know, you approach me, I'm going to do something good for you. Yayatamam prapajan, you approached me. If you approached Lord Shiva, it would have been a different story. But since you approached me, let me tell you. You know, it's like you approach some bogus person, and he says, yes, yes, you know, you take this yoga system, and you just practice, and you give me $50, and you'll have a better sex life, and you'll, you know, this, that, and you can smoke. Yes, it's not a problem. I mean, you shouldn't smoke, but if you do, it's okay. But if you approach Prabhupada, no intoxication, no gambling, no...
Maharaj, I want to give an example. This is Mataji in India, and she's charging 1,000 rupees per person for the meal, and thousands of people come every day to her.
Yeah.
And she says, you can eat meat, you can do anything, whatever you want, just surrender to Lord, Ganesha, and me.
Yeah.
And give me 1,000 rupees.
What's it, yeah. Just give me a hug or something? Is that that thing?
For
no.
1,000 rupees. Cheap, you know. You solve all my problems for 1,000 rupees, you know. Wow, solves her economic problem too, doesn't it? So, you know, you want something, you approach one person and you get, you know, everything you wanted. You know, cheap, cheap. And you approach Prabhupada and he takes everything away from you. Takes your girlfriend away, takes your cigarettes away, takes your LSD away, takes your meat away, takes this away, takes that away. Why? Because you approached. So since you approached, he wants to be kind to you. Approach a Vaishnav, instead of just giving you any nonsense you want to hear, he gives you the truth. If you don't like the truth, go someplace else and, you know, someone will tell you lies. A lot of people are there for that. And what is that lie? Yes, whatever you like, you can do. Whatever you want, you can have. Whatever you imagine, it's all true. And Prabhupada doesn't do that. You know, whatever material happiness, it's yours. You just have to, you know, get rid of the blocks in your, you know, in your mind, and then, you know, everything can be yours. You approach them, you get that. You approach a Vaishnav, you get the other thing. No. Know this, know that, know this. And what happens? You become actually happy. You had a question, Sujitani? They don't
lead you to Krishna consciousness.
No. I mean, they may. Lord Shiva sometimes may, by his mercy, lead some devotee to Krishna, but generally, you approach for some material benefit, he gives you the material benefit.
What is the Vaishnava tradition?
Maybe. If someone's fortunate, the demigod sees this person is not really interested in me. He's actually interested in Krishna. Well, demigods also may sometimes direct someone to Krishna. But so often, you know, there's millions of demigod worshippers, so there's only one or two Chandidases and so on. But there's millions of people who are worshipping demigods. They worship the god or the goddess. They get their loot, you know, they get what it is they're after. And they keep worshipping the demigod because it's a good deal. And they never come to Krishna. Yes?
This famous Mayavada guru was approached by a student who asked him about Bhakti Yoga, devotion, Bhagavad Gita. He told them, oh, it's not here, you should go to Hare Krishna.
Yeah, every now and then you go to some cheating guru and he says, no, 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 I can't teach you about that. For that you have to go to Hare Krishna. So, yeah.
That's nice.
One more question. Yeah, therefore the demigod worshippers are not too far off from the demons sometimes. There's so many, in fact, you know, look at Lord Shiva's devotees, some of them. Hiranyakashipu. Well, he's Brahma's devotee, but Ravana, Vrikasura, so many. The demons generally, so many of them are worshipping Lord Shiva. What? Material power. So, Hitajnana, demonic mentality. Here it's Pamais Taister Hitajnana. Because if they're just overwhelmed by desires. There are different, you know, even among the Duskritana, some of them are just overwhelmed by their education. Some of them are overwhelmed by just their demonic nature. Some of them are just stupid, you know. They're just working and working and working. Now there's different categories. Now there's another category. Some people are just, you know, into the demigods. They think that's the way to go. See, they're all avoiding surrender to Krishna. So here they're again getting strong language thrown at them. Ritagana. They've lost their mind, lost their intelligence, lost their knowledge. Is that okay? Yeah? Sure? Maybe I didn't catch your question quite right. Try again.
So, what is the difference between having intelligence stolen away by illusion and stolen away by material?
Not too different. Having your intelligence stolen doesn't matter too much who stole it. Whoever stole it, you don't have it.
Find the thief. Find the thief. That's the police.
Someone is stolen by material desires, someone is stolen by illusion. Maya Pratyajnana means specifically that because they think they're so smart, they've lost their intelligence. And here it's Kamais Taistir Hitajnana. They're so lusty that they've lost their intelligence. There's different ways to lose it. Is that okay? All right. We're still Thursday, so we'll see you tomorrow.
Hare Krishna.
Ki Jai.
Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.
Earlier or?
This is fine for me. Does anyone want to change it?
No, no, it's okay.
Camera, okay, keep it.
Big breakfast.
Big breakfast.
Okay.
I'll big breakfast.